Saturday, March 17th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. As the next chapter of the FBI political drama develops and everyone is once again obsessed with what might happen with Andrew McCabe and his memo, instead of addressing the current mountain of crimes unfolding right in front of our eyes, it is certainly doing its job, distracting from the absolutely laughable attempt to shift from the Russians hacked the election to the Russians are poisoning people with impunity and maybe hacked the power grid just in case that first one didn't stick, even though the Washington Post was already forced to retract that story the first time because it was utterly false. It's quite depressing how easily some are led by the nose, even by the very same liars from the not-too-distant past, even using the very same lies. Sadly, in each new developing story, most are so obsessed with what political side they're supposed to be on within this false two-party dichotomy that they fail to allow themselves to consider if the story itself might be a manipulation. They just look to their party leaders and associated mainstream party channels for the correct stance and act accordingly, usually with hating or blindly supporting Trump wrapped up in there somewhere. Forget critical thinking and questioning the intentions of those who are known liars. No, just follow the leader. So many good people have been tricked right back into the political dance, the divide and conquer, that they fail to see what is in many cases painfully obvious. But I truly feel that an increasing number of people are beginning to see the cracks. So we push forward and hope that our efforts shatter the illusion entirely, even if for one more person. So the first story of the day is one we touched on yesterday. Coming out of the CorbettReport.com, the Russian poison story is WMD 2.0. Now, this is something, again, we touched on recently, but James Corbett always does such an excellent job with his research and his articles that I highly recommend any of you out there go and read this article in its entirety for yourself. But the story itself is something that I have to reiterate is completely baseless at this point. No one has seen any evidence in regard to this story. This is all coming from the idea of this Novichok nerve agent that supposedly comes from Russia. But the reality of the story is that like I said the other day, from Moon of Alabama made the great analogy, saying that if a BMW ran over a bunch of people, would it be highly likely that the Germans were behind it just because it's a German vehicle? That's essentially what we're saying here. I mean, how easy would it be for someone else to simply just use this agent so it would look like the Russians? Now, that's even under the assumption that this is a real nerve agent in the first place. James Corbett makes the excellent point that this is something that has been highly doubted from long before this ever happened, from the very same people that are now saying that it's verified. So basically calling this something that is highly unlikely, but now because the Russians are behind it, of course it makes sense. I mean, anything that would be deemed a wild conspiracy theory in regard to the U.S. government when it's the Russians, of course it makes sense. And that's what he makes clear in his article. And it's just very obvious and showing that, I mean, even the Porton Down group that claimed this was indeed the Novichok nerve agent, now all of a sudden gained 45 million lira, a little financial boost right after they did this. And it turns out they're only a few miles down the road from where this actually happened. There's just a lot of misinformation and a lot of left out information in this story. But it all comes back to the fact that there is no actual direct connection to the Russians using this, despite the fact that they claim this is a Russian-based agent. Again, despite the fact that we can't even verify that it's even real, where all of this is based on the word of the very same government officials that we know openly and overtly lied about WMDs in the past, which is why he called this WMD 2.0. It's like it's the very same rehashing of the same lies, pushing forward. And like I said in the intro, it's basically, in my opinion, to shift some new narrative to make Russia the big bad guy because the Russian election hacking story has completely fallen apart, which we've known for a long time. And even despite all this lack of evidence, Merkel, Macron, and Trump are all jumping on this narrative and standing behind it, demonizing Russia. We saw them recently expel 23 diplomats. And I mean, really, they're taking actual action on the world stage when there's no evidence to back this up. Even Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour Party leader, has spoken out saying that, hey, maybe we should wait until we actually have some evidence to move forward. And guess what? No joke, they all call him a Russian spy. That's how ridiculous this is getting, that he's being deemed a Russian spy now because he's actually advocating for some critical thinking and saying, maybe we should wait for some evidence. But in that, I think it's revealed that it's not about the evidence or the truth. It's, like I said yesterday, it's about progressing a political agenda and making them the bad guy. And clearly to me, this stands out as some kind of a psychological operation, false flag. And that's something that has to begin to be clear when we see all this kind of lining up with the other chemical weapons accusations that have also fallen short. I mean, it just becomes very clear that this is one big manipulation. And it doesn't mean that it might not be true. I mean, it's possible that the Russians were behind this or something like that. I don't think that. But the point is, the evidence is not there for us to make up our minds. And as always, James finishes with an excellent line saying, but hey, would the government really lie about something so important that will eventually be exposed as a transparent fraud that could cause large-scale warfare and the loss of untold lives? Again? Very well done, James, as always. I mean, the point clearly is that we've seen this play out with Iraq, and it's something that we're all just falling right back into, or rather, many are falling right back into. So I'm constantly trying to advocate for people to use their brains and analyze the information in front of us so we can at the very least see that there is not enough evidence to be moving forward with the actions that they're taking right now, which is very revealing. Moving on to the next story from ZeroHedge.com, Russia expels 23 British diplomats in retaliation. And this is a quick one I wanted to touch on because it actually frustrates me to see this response. Because clearly, what this shows me ultimately, and it's a good point to make in the larger idea here, is that Russia is simply playing the game as the government, just like everybody else. I mean, if they're just going tit for tat here, that's frustrating. If they really wanted to stand back and be like, you know, you guys are all being ridiculous and there's no base for any of these claims, just do nothing. Allow, expel the Russian diplomats to stand back and let the world see that there's nothing, they're the ones being the aggressor. But to retaliate with 23 British diplomats, it just shows me that they're just playing the game. I think this is, we always have to remember that regardless of how much we're trying, at least currently focusing on the terrible actions and imperialistic nature of the U.S. government around the world or those controlling it, that Russia and any other government are largely just as bad. But that this really, at this point, they're the ones being attacked or manipulated. So that's why we're explaining it this way. But in government in general, as far as I'm concerned, are pretty bad all across the board. But again, now they're expelling 23 British diplomats, and this is continuing to escalate. And really, this is leading us towards some very serious actions that can't be taken back. And I ultimately think that's the point. Whether you're talking about funding the military-industrial complex or simply just distracting from many other things that are going on, this is continuing to escalate, and that's a very serious thing. And to do that based on absolutely zero evidence is absolutely irresponsible. Moving on to the next story coming out of the antimedia.com, government rules that living man is actually dead and must remain that way. Despite a 63-year-old man presenting himself as alive and well before judges this week, a Romanian court has ruled that due to a technicality, he must remain legally deceased. In 1992, Constantine Relu, if I'm saying that correctly, moved from Romania to Turkey, where he found work as a chef. According to local media reports, the last time he returned to his native country was in 1999. This was also the last time he was in contact with his family. In 1999, a devastating earthquake struck Turkey, killing nearly 17,000 people. Hearing nothing from her estranged husband for years, Relu's wife assumed he had died in the quake. Wanting to remarry, she obtained a death certificate for Relu in 2016. In January of the year, Relu was detained by Turkish authorities and deported back to Romania for having expired documents. That's when he first learned he was legally a walking dead man. Seeking to regain his identity and return to his life in Turkey, Relu petitioned the city court to throw out the death certificate. However, judges rejected his petition on Friday, saying too much time had passed since the certificate had been issued. Apparently, that ruling is final and can't be appealed. Now, Constantine is stuck in a legal limbo where he has lost the ability to earn a living and essentially do anything else. He's quoted in saying, "I am officially dead, although I'm alive. And I have no income because I'm listed dead and can't do anything." This story in its own right is slightly humorous, but at the end of the day, the reason I'm talking about this story is because it shows you in such a unique way how ridiculous this bureaucracy is. Government in general is basically telling them that he has to remain dead and saying he can't go get a job and do many other things that a normal person would do because of their mistake. Or rather, it's not so much of a mistake, but how easy would it be to simply roll this back? I mean, it's due to regulation and bureaucracy that they're saying, sorry, we can't, even though you're standing right here in front of us where you have to remain dead on paper because of the way things work. I mean, that's ridiculous. That is literally absurd. And yet he has to carry on. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go. He's probably going to leave the country. But the point is now he has to leave his home country or, you know, make some kind of drastic change simply because they deemed him dead. And how truly absurd and unfair this story is really has to resonate with us and really stand out on how ridiculous government bureaucracy truly is at the end of the day. Moving on to the next story, coming out of the antimedia.com, Facebook forced to apologize after video of autocomplete results stun users. Facebook has been forced to apologize after it spent hours suggesting bizarre, disturbing, and upsetting searches to users on Thursday night. Typing video of into the Facebook search bar yielded disturbing results. Multiple users posted examples on Twitter with the site proposing searches including video of girl sucking dick underwater, videos of sexuals, and video of little girl giving oral. Now, this is literally what they were suggesting for people when they would type in video of. And as a reminder, less than 2 weeks ago, Facebook was busted asking users if they think it's all right for adults to solicit sexual pictures for minors on its platform. It was a survey handed out or given out to many different users asking them if they thought it was okay, with no option in there to actually say maybe notify the police. And this, it's really, again, it could be brushed away, and it likely will be brushed away as some kind of a, you know, maybe an outside manipulation or some kind of a mistake. But there's too much correlation here as far as I'm concerned. We're seeing so much normalization of this kind of thing going on within elite circles, but within a lot of just mainstream today, normalizing the idea of children consenting to terrible things, or simply the idea that, you know, adults can marry children, or any number of things we've seen, like the New York Times continually try to normalize even the idea of pedophilia. And to have this happen two times within a few weeks, that Facebook is literally kind of suggesting or even subliminally suggesting that people look for these kind of things or do these kind of things, or that it's okay for older men to solicit sexual pictures for minors. It can't be, I just don't think it can be chalked up as a casual mistake. So it's something that I think we need to keep on file and remember that this has been happening, and just kind of carry this with the larger story, and really, in my opinion, use this as one more reason to get the hell out of Facebook and stop using its service altogether. Moving on to the next story, coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, police refusing to investigate massive child sex ring say girls as young as 11 consented. Politicians, victims, and activists are lashing out at police after discovering an internal memo that discouraged police from investigating a massive child trafficking ring because they claimed the children consented. As the Free Thought Project reported earlier this month, a jaw-dropping independent investigation has revealed that hundreds of children, some as young as 11 years old, are estimated to have been drugged, beaten, and raped over the last several decades in a single town. According to the investigation, the abuse was allowed and is continuing to be allowed because authorities look the other way. Now, the Free Thought Project has confirmed that this is indeed the case. The investigation claims that allegations dating back to the 1980s were mishandled by authorities who repeatedly failed to punish a network of abusers, according to the Telegraph. According to a new report, it appears police were told from within their own department via an internal memo claiming that, quote, in most cases, the sex is consensual. And again, this is regarding children. Countless victims and former victims have come forward detailing their abuse and the current abuse taking place in the British town of Telford. Despite hundreds of testimonies and graphic details, police have failed to act, and as they hide behind the idea that a child can somehow consent to sex with an adult. According to the investigation, social workers were aware of the abuse in the 90s and did nothing to stop it. Furthermore, police allowed the abuse to continue for more than a decade before they launched Operation Chalice, which looked at a child prostitution in Telford, but only led to the arrests of a handful of men. The abuse continued because government officials considered the sex trafficking children prostitutes, so they didn't care about them. When asked why they didn't keep details of the abusers, the council allegedly claimed they didn't want to be accused of racism. As I said in the beginning, stories like this one, as disgustingly inept and seemingly complicit as these people are largely overlooked due to the intense social programming that have made so many political zombies always looking for a new way to show how hip and aligned they are with their political ideology that they simply can't see the forest for the trees. They are blinded by the groupthink. And evil, like we saw in the last story, is allowed to endure. allowed to fester and grow in their elite circles, which begs the question, why they allow such monsters to thrive in their circles? Yet the answer is obvious as far as I'm concerned. However, if it were you or I, the average individual who was guilty of such an affront to society, we would already be in jail. And in that, the real two-party system is revealed, not Democrats and Republicans, but us and them, elite and everyone else, the wealthy and the rest of us. When you can see that divide and not the hatred for your neighbor because of who he supported in this political facade, then the illusion truly begins to shatter. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.